Support for NPR podcasts comes from Pabst Brewing, proud supporter of local artists nationwide, and of the NPR Live in Concert series, online at PabstBlueRibbon.com.
Hi.
Hey, it's Taylor. How's it going?
I had to pull over on the side of the road to pee, and then we got lost.
Uh-huh.
So now we're in driving around Queens, lost. Oh, 495, not west, we used to go east. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
There are a lot of people who want to keep a diary. They think about it. Maybe start a few. But I wonder how many people start one and then actually finish. Then start another until books and books of journals begin collecting that pile in their rooms. Until they have years of their life written down, documented in some way. I'm not sure if this is what Leslie Arfin set out to do when she was a little girl, but it's what she ended up doing, keeping a hilarious, tragic, absurd, and more importantly, honest account of how she grew up. I'm Taylor Chaplin Orsi, and this is Club Awesome, a show that's about any song that's meant anything to anybody ever. Leslie took a bunch of these journal entries and she made a book of her life, and she called it Dear Diary. That's also the name of the column that she used to write for Vice magazine.
It's definitely hard to be honest sometimes, just in general, and I think that when one is writing stuff down in their journal, their diary, there's really like no escape from yourself.
Do you ever feel like things aren't true until you write them down? Like writing them down makes them real?
Yeah, it's not calculated. Like when I write in my journal, it's sort of doing like a stream of conscious writing. And it does help me to get to the truth.
What was it like to pick and choose what it was that you were going to include in this book?
Well, I had to pick diary entries that would allow me to make a narrative. I was looking for moments where I was being really honest, moments that were embarrassing for me to read, and also funny things that I wrote. Things that would make me laugh, things that would make me cringe, and things that I felt would add to the story.
Leslie writes down a lot of stuff that she went through growing up. One of the big experiences was that she got addicted to heroin. She ended up going to rehab twice. She writes, "I'm going backwards in time. It's not fun anymore. Was it ever fun, or was I faking that? Confusing experience with self-destruction, selling myself out for a few stories that I'll never be able to tell because they're too boring. I'm just replaying someone else's story, and not in a good way. I feel like I've been going in circles my whole life, spending so much time looking for the party but never actually being there. Once I found the party, it sucked. I went looking for another one. They're all the same. I keep hurting myself." Do you ever feel, now that you're sober, that you miss out?
You know, when I was young, I felt like if I'm not at this certain party, if I'm not hanging out with these people, then I am missing out, because that's who I'm supposed to be hanging out with to become the person who I'm supposed to be. But the truth is, I'm supposed to be exactly where I am, in this car, driving to my mom's house, on the phone with you. It's basically two sides of the same coin. You can either be unhappy with where you are all the time and want more, or you can realize that you have all you need to have at this moment. The first time I went to rehab, all the money that I got went towards doing drugs. I wanted to lower my tolerance. I didn't even really want to get sober. I didn't want to stop drinking. I just was spending too much money on heroin. So I went to rehab the first time, but I didn't stay sober for very long. Mm-hmm. And I only went, I was like a detox rehab, and I only went for like 10 days or something like that. And then the second time I went, I felt like I hit a very spiritual bottom, and I just felt like this isn't the way I want my life to be going, and I know that I can be more than this, and I want to be more than this, and I didn't know what I wanted, but I knew it wasn't that.
Do you hang out with the friends that you used to hang out with still?
No. To be honest, all the people who I'm friends with today are my best friends post-heroin, or they're sober as well. And those who I was friends with who aren't sober, I have no idea where they are.
I wanted to, basically the whole big reason for why I wanted to talk to you is because I know that music has, that you like music a lot.
Yeah, totally. I listened to the show and it sounded really good. And I made a list of songs that like sort of stick out for me and have meaning. There's one song that I immediately came to mind when I was thinking of your show. It's one of my favorite songs. It's Mexico by James Taylor. I love it. But like the first time I ever heard it, I was actually in sleepaway camp.
Way down here, you need a reason to move. Feel a fool.
And it's so weird because at sleepaway camp we had talent shows, and I remember this kid, like he brought a canoe on stage. Just this one, I don't know how old he was. Could not have been like older than 14 years old. And he brought a canoe on stage. And he was just lip-syncing that song, Mexico, by James Taylor. And, like, at the time, everybody loved it. We all thought it was, like, really funny. And then just recently, I was thinking about that. Like, this kid brought a canoe on stage and was lip-syncing Mexico. Like, how random.
Mexico.
Today, every time I hear that song, I kind of think of that. And I also have, like, this secret fantasy. Like, I don't play guitar, but I want to learn how to play guitar just so I can, like, bust out that song, like out of nowhere, just start playing the intro to Mexico and, like, wow people. It's so good. I love it.
So what's another one that comes to mind just right now?
Well, I heard one of the girls on your show talk about, like, how she saw The Gossip and how it was one of the best shows she's ever seen. And
that was McAllister. She's a DJ at KXLU
cool. In
Los Angeles.
She was really cool. So she said that, and I thought that was, like, a really good thing to bring up because the best show that I ever saw was 2 or 3 years ago. I went to, like, a private party for Thrasher at the Knitting Factory, and Ween played.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a hard party to get into, but we got in. And at the time, I was in a Ween cover band with my friend Meryl, and we were called Weenie. And we were right up front, and it was just, they're so fucking awesome. And we were screaming, we were like, we're in a cover band, we're called Weenie. And they were like, oh, that's so cool. And they were like talking back to us. They closed the set with Buckingham Green.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like they played it for like 15 minutes. And it's just, I mean, I love so many Ween songs, but at that moment, that song was just so perfect. The whole audience was just like swaying to Buckingham Green, and it was just the best show I've ever seen, and it was a moment I'll always remember. It was a very happy, happy moment for me.
Where are you guys now?
Yeah, we're just in a parking lot in Roslyn, Long Island. Another song that I thought of when I thought of your show that makes me really happy all the time, every single time I listen to it, is I Think I See the Light by Cat Stevens. It's like, I think I see the light coming through me, coming to me, giving me a second sight. Really good. It's from Harold and Maude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can only get it. I mean, it's kind of, it used to be a rare Cat Stevens song. I don't know. You might be able to find it now, but Hal DeMott is one of the best movies ever, and the music that goes along with it is kind of like a character in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's the most perfect soundtrack. I don't know if it, if like the movie would have been as good without the music.
Mm-hmm.
And that song, I mean, there's other perfect, great Cat Stevens songs on that soundtrack, but that one is just like, anytime I listen to it, I feel happy. Like, if I can walk down the aisle when I'm getting married to that song, I would. It's so good. Until I found the one
I needed at my side. I'm trying to remember when that song comes up.
It's like, during a love montage. Why not?
Oh, God, it is a montage song.
It is.
Oh, I love montage songs.
Me too.
I want to make a montage of montage songs. Like,
that's,
I think,
a good idea.
Look out! This is something I have always wanted to do.
And I will always love you. Baby, you're all that I want when you're not.
That was awesome. So tell me really quickly about your feelings for Kathleen Hanna.
I mean, Bikini Kill changed my life. Doesn't that sound like the title of this scene or something? I definitely hold a special place in my heart for Bikini Kill, and I love them. It's something that I don't really talk about that much, because I just feel, and I'm sure a lot of girls feel this way, because a lot of girls love Bikini Kill, and they're really
right.
Important to them. But it's just, like, her lyrics, you know, they really, like, I was just really young, and I was really impressionable, and I still think that they hold true to this day. I mean, I guess, like, my feelings for Kathleen today, you know, like, I don't, like, idolize her anymore. I don't put her up on a pedestal in any way. I see her as being, like, pretty human. I don't listen to it that much anymore, but every now and then it'll come on shuffle, and I'll be like, yeah, dude, I feel you. I have to pee, and I'm in, like, a really well-lit parking lot, and fuck it, I'm just going to do it. Anyway.
Is it going to be difficult balancing the phone?
No. So, yeah, all those songs really make me feel empowered. Same with Her Jazz by Huggy Bear.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I'll scream it, bounce around.
So show me!
Like, every now and then I'll go someplace and someone will DJ that. Like, my friend Ben Show will DJ that song to me. It's Sway on Sunday nights, which is like his Smith Morrissey night, but he'll play Huggy Bear for me. And I'll just, like, start fucking moshing. And I don't care. Like, I don't care what I look like. I don't care who sees me. I don't care if people think I'm a loser. Her jazz comes before, like, feeling uncool. Above, like, what other people might think about me. Which I guess is, like, what really makes a song powerful. It's like, you like it unconditionally. Regardless of what anybody thinks or anybody sees, it's an unconditional love.
When I told my sister I was interviewing this girl who got her diary published, she was all like, oh my God, and she secretly confessed to me that that's something that she had always wanted to do. The thing is, I think that's a dream for a lot of little girls, and Leslie Arfin knows it.
Times are hard, you're afraid to pay the fee.
At the end of Dear Diary, she writes, my diary entries became not just my life story, they're every girl's life story. You're not me, but you're kind of me. You may not have had your ass kicked by your dad, learned how to weigh coke by a junkie named Skittles, or let a bi-curious ex-cheerleader on K eat you out in the bathtub, but you made 100 mistakes and you survived. In fact, the mistakes that you made make you who you are today.
I don't wanna do your dirty work no more.
Okay, so I have more songs, but we won't get into it. But you should close the interview on the song Dirty Work by Steely Dan, because that's one of my favorite songs. And it reminds me of my dad, and it's a beautiful song, and it would sound nice going out.
Okay, I promise.
Okay, cool.
I don't want to do your dirty work no more.
Decided then that I enjoyed being dead.
I understand a lot of people enjoy being dead, but they're not dead, really. They're just backing away from life. Reach out, take a chunk, get hurt even. Play as well as you can. Go, team, go! Give me an L, give me an L, give me a V, give me an E. L-I-V-E, live! Otherwise, you got nothing to talk about in the locker room.